Hello, everyone. Welcome to This Week in Mormons, Twin Sisters Edition.
Yes, we are the Twin Sisters. I am Tiffany Hales.
And I'm Ariane Smith.
And we are here for our monthly podcast.
Right, the month of March.
Enlighten you with, what was it Jeff called us in last week's podcast? He said we would be coming to you from Southern Idaho with our mom version of life.
The mom take.
The mom take on things.
And I do feel like we should say we are also real life sisters. And the reason I say that is I had a friend that started listening recently and she said, who do you do it with?
Oh,
and I said,
gosh.
Oh, that's my actual sister.
Yes.
So just in case you're new here, we're actually sisters.
We actually are sisters. Not only are we sisters in the gospel, we're sisters on Family Search.
That's right.
Okay.
So welcome. We're going to talk some Mormon news stories that have been happening lately.
Well, let's first get caught up with kind of like what's going on in our lives on the church front.
That's right.
Yes.
So biggest thing for me right now is the Relief Society birthday dinner.
Oh, it is the month of March. Tis the time.
Tis the time. It's tomorrow night and we are bringing it back.
Really? See, it's been a couple years since I think we've had a Relief Society birthday dinner.
Yeah.
So what are you guys doing?
Well, so my calling right now is over the committee to plan the Relief Society events.
Okay.
And this ward hasn't done a dinner since I've moved in, so at least a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
They haven't done the birthday dinner, so we're bringing it back.
Okay.
So we're just going to have a pasta bar and a speaker and a musical number, and we kind of have this purse theme going, talking about different bags at different stages in your life.
Bags that you carry around.
Not bags under your eyes, although those may also be present.
Very true.
So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Oh,
I've
been excited.
Prepping all day. And
yes, and I have seen your purse decorations. They are, quite frankly, adorably cute. I hope the sisters in your ward appreciate them.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun.
We're excited. So.
Well, I want to share with you what happened with my son in seminary. Now, I kind of gave you a little teaser about this.
I know.
But I have not talked to you about this.
I've been anxiously waiting. She told me like over a week ago.
I did.
She had a hilarious seminary story.
I don't know if I'd call it hilarious, but it's just an interesting seminary story.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting seminary story.
So I've been waiting. What happened in seminary?
So my son, Mark, he's 14 years old. He's a freshman in high school. And because we live here in the fair state of Idaho, especially Southern Idaho where we're located, there's a fair number of Mormons that they all have release time seminary. So he comes home from school probably about 10 days or so ago. And he says to Darren and I, he says, hey, we did a church court in seminary.
What?
I know. So Darren and I kind of shoot this look to each other like, is he for real? But here's the thing with teenagers. Like, you have to you have to mask any emotion that you have if you want them to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
And so even though Darren and I are both going, is he for real? We are masking that emotion. And so we go, really, Mark, tell us about this. And so Darren says, well, how many people were on this court? And Darren says, oh, well, there were 12 people. And then Darren asks him, he said, well, did you have leadership?
Uh-huh.
And my son says, yeah, I was the stake president.
What? They made Mark the stake president?
Well, he volunteered to be the stake president. So then I said,
okay.
So did you have counselors? And he said, yeah, they were girls. And I thought that was very progressive. And I said, really? He said, yeah, none of the boys would volunteer, only the girls. So he proceeds to tell me that the person was accused of adultery. They had six people arguing for equity and six people arguing for mercy. They had been studying, I believe, section 103 of the Doctrine and Covenants, which talks about the purpose of high council and church disciplinary proceedings. And we're talking about early members of the church who had been excommunicated. And so they just had this mock church court. So I said, Mark, what did you decide to do? Because, you know, ultimately the state president decides, and then they all ratify. And Mark said, well, we didn't excommunicate, but we strongly encourage severe repentance. I'm like, okay.
This is fascinating.
It is so fascinating because let me tell you, as a child of the 80s and probably even the 90s too, when you were in seminary, never, you wouldn't even say the word church court in seminary.
No, like, and this is like,
it was so taboo.
This is a official CES teacher guy, right? This isn't
oh,
like
yes.
some rogue member of your stake.
This is not a volunteer calling. or, you know, or an unpaid position. No, this is a CES employee. So anyway, it was a great learning experience for Mark. He took a lot away from it.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I was impressed with the transparency that they're showing the kids these days,
uh-huh.
so that they understand what a church court is about. Mm-hmm. But I guess they're not calling them per se church courts anymore. They're calling them like a disciplinary council, I think is what uh-huh. they're called now, is what my bishop said. But anyway, isn't that just like so fascinating that they were doing that in seminary?
Really interesting.
I know. And they let the girls be counselors. That's the best part right there.
That is great. I wonder if like lots of teachers are doing this, or your teachers just got this clever idea. I'm curious.
I know. I have no idea, but I did. I was, like I said, Darren and I were both just sitting there, you know, kind of looking at each other like, really? You did this in seminary?
Aren't you supposed to be watching videos or
exactly.
something?
So anyway, so kudos for letting the kids experience that and kind of taking some of the mystery mm-hmm. and shame associated with that out of the mixture.
Right. So fascinating.
All right. Oh, you want to give a shout out to
I wanted to mention the twin podcast from 2 weeks ago. It was one where Jeff interviewed Alan and Katie Mount.
Yes.
And it was all about having a mixed religion marriage.
Yes.
They're both members of the church, but he has left and she has stayed in.
Yes.
And so Jeff interviewed them and I thought it was excellent. Such a good podcast. And they were just so well spoken and sharing their viewpoint and how they've navigated this. And I just really enjoyed it. I have many, many friends in that situation. So...
It was a great podcast. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that podcast, I would encourage anybody to go back and listen to that podcast. I think it was episode 414. Mm-hmm. And it really helps kind of enlighten you on a perspective of what it's like to be like in a marriage where partners share different faiths and how they navigate that.
Yeah. Yeah, really good one. So go listen if you haven't had a chance yet. Now we need to move on to some stories in the news.
Oh, we do.
Where members of the church happen to appear in these stories in the news. And for some reason this week, we have just a ton of pop culture / reality TV stuff happening.
It's very true. In the last month since we have podcasted, the Mormons have been all over reality TV.
Yeah.
So
we're everywhere.
We're everywhere. Or I guess I'm not supposed to say Mormons. Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have been all over reality TV.
All over reality TV.
Okay, so who do you want? What show do you want to start with?
Well, I think we need to start with American Idol.
Okay.
Because right now I know of two.
Okay.
There may be more, but so far we know of two. And American Idol... I have not watched for years, but now I'm watching because there's a connection.
Okay. And I'm excited for you to explain your connection here.
Yes. So first person on there that we know of that's a member of the church is actually in my ward.
Get out of town.
Yes, his family is in my ward.
Okay, let's give him a name.
So his name is Logan Johnson.
Okay.
And American Idol came to Idaho whenever they filmed, which was probably like six months ago.
Wasn't it like sometime in the summertime?
End of summer, early fall.
Yeah, sometime in there.
Something like that. So they actually came to northern Idaho and filmed. So this kid from my ward, he is, I think he's 21 now.
Okay.
Either 20 or 21. But his parents still live in our ward. He went up and auditioned. And so it just aired, not this last week, the week before it aired. He has an amazing voice. I don't know him very well. He was graduating from high school right when we moved into the ward. But I do remember hearing him sing in church, and it was gorgeous.
And you were impressed?
Yes, I was very impressed. And his mom, I just adore her. She was my daughter's first primary teacher when we moved into the ward. And my daughter loves her so much. They've got a great connection and... just a really great family. So the interesting thing about Logan, he's very open on the show. He has struggled with addictions to pain medication. Uh-huh. And he also has a brother that's struggled with a substance abuse and addictions. And he is very open that's part of his story yeah. that he tells on American Idol, and just how he's trying to yeah. overcome it, and he's been sober for so many days, and it's just really touching that Aww. He shared that, and then his audition was great. He nailed it.
Okay, so when he went through the audition, is that where they give him, like, you're going to Vegas?
Yes. You're going to Hollywood.
Or going to Hollywood, yeah. okay.
So he made it through easily, and it was great. And his whole family was on the feature where okay. they talked about him. So I don't know, because obviously this was filmed a while ago.
Okay.
Nobody knows how far he gets, because his parents yeah. are like...
They have to sign contracts that are like ironclad yes. saying, you will not open your mouth at all.
Yes, lips are sealed. So everybody in our ward is just kind of anxiously waiting to okay. see what happens.
Well, I know, but like, this is a small community. Where are the television cameras? Are you seeing cameras at his house or anything?
I've heard rumors.
You've heard rumors? Mm-hmm. Really? What are the rumors floating around?
I've heard rumors there may have been some cameras at his house recently.
Like, recently?
Yeah. Oh. But unconfirmed.
Unconfirmed rumors. Okay. Well, we will continue to follow Mr. Logan and his journey. Well, we'll expect you to update us on his journey.
Right.
Now, who is the other member of the church that is on American Idol?
The other one, she just, I think, popped up on the show this week now, because they're still doing the preliminary phase.
Yeah, like the auditions.
Yeah, in different yeah. cities this week. So this gal, her name is, Ashley Hess.
Okay.
And Ashley Hess is a member. She, I think, grew up in California, but then lived in Utah, and it looks like maybe she's in Nashville now. But she spent several years in Utah, and from what okay. I could tell, was big on the Utah music scene.
Oh.
Lots of, like, concerts around Utah.
Okay.
And so I watched her little clip today.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Is she good?
Good. Another gorgeous voice.
Oh.
And the judges are all different. Katy Perry is a judge
isn't
now.
Lionel Richie
yeah,
a judge?
Lionel Richie and a country guy who I don't know, Luke Bryan?
Luke someone.
And Katy Perry loved her. Katy Perry said, you could win this whole thing.
Oh, dang.
So she sailed through also. She is going to Hollywood. So there's two LDS kids that we've got to watch.
So maybe Ashley and Logan will compete against each other. And maybe we could have a little LDS hookup there. What if Ashley and Logan hooked up?
Maybe.
I mean, aren't they kind of the same age? It sounds like she's maybe a little bit older.
I think she's a little older.
Well, maybe she likes younger, but not that there's anything wrong with that.
That's fine.
Ah, okay.
So it'll be fun to watch.
All right. Well, in other singing competitions, have you heard of this show called The Masked Singer?
I did hear of it. I did not watch it.
Okay.
But I thought it was a fascinating concept.
Well, let me tell you what the concept was. So this originated in South Korea, apparently. And so they would take celebrities and they would dress them up in these elaborate costumes. And every week the celebrities would perform. And you couldn't tell who the celebrity was.
Like a mascot costume.
Like a mascot.
Like a full-body.
Full-body costume. And so every week the celebrity would give a clue to their identity and the judges try and guess. And then I can't remember how they eliminated different celebrities. Anyway, so this Masked Singer comes here to America. It's on Fox, which is probably why we didn't really even hear of it that much, because I was like, Fox, that's like still a thing. Anyway, so the first time I heard about the Masked Singer is Bari Osmond was being interviewed by Access Hollywood, and she was flapping her jaws on Access Hollywood. Apparently, she didn't sign the same non-disclosure contract that Donnie signed.
Uh-oh.
So they're asking her on Access Hollywood, is your brother Donnie on The Masked Singer? And she doesn't deny that he's on The Masked Singer. She gives a couple of clues away that make it sound like he's on The Masked Singer. She says, when asked if she just confirmed that Osmond was the peacock, she said, I know we started at NBC, which was the peacock.
Oh, my.
So that's when I first heard of the Masked Singer, was when I saw this interview with Marie. Uh-huh. And then I was like, what the heck is this thing all about? Now, I never did watch it. I watched some of the takeouts on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
But it really started to pick up traction in the forums involving members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints when they did an interview. And the peacock is sitting, presumably, like in his living room in his full peacock suit, and there sitting on the table next to him is a picture of the angel Moroni. Now,
that's a big giveaway.
You're not going to get too many people cruising around with a picture of the angel Moroni. So then the rumors really started to run amok that it was Donnie. Uh-huh. But then there was also a costumed character on the show known as the Bee. And rumors started to run around that the Bee was none other than Gladys Knight, another member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
They got them both.
Huh? So it came down to the final three. Mm-hmm. Came down to the Peacock, the Bee, and I can't even remember what the other costumed character was. But he was a rapper named T-Pain, and he ended up winning. So Donnie and Gladys came in second and third, although I don't think they ever said who was actually second or who was actually third. Uh-huh. But, you know, shout out to both of them for being on this show. I watched a couple of Donnie's performances. Like, he's on his knees sliding on the floor on the stage, and I'm like, dude, you're old.
How old is he now?
He's like over 60, I think.
Wow.
I want to know how his knees slide like that. That was I was really mostly impressed with his agility at his age.
Yeah. So and maybe he's got new knees.
Maybe he has new knees. But shout out to both of them. They did great.
Cool. All right. Oh, we've got another reality show contestant to talk about. I'm telling you. We must love reality shows.
We do love reality shows. Them. And members of the church love reality shows, and they really love appearing on reality shows.
So this one is Project Runway, which if you have listened to this before, you know Project Runway is like my all-time favorite.
It is.
Of all the reality shows.
In fact, if you happen to be in Boise, Idaho on a Thursday night, you can come over to Ariane's house. She invites all her friends over between 9 and 9:30, and they have a Project Runway night. Come be a new friend. Come to her house, and she'll invite you in for Project Runway
night. That's how obsessive I am.
Yes.
So.
But it's really fun because it's girl chat and candy. What could be better than that? And sodas.
And sodas.
We do sodas.
Okay. So Project Runway is, of course, the one where they design the fashion and then they sew it and get judged on it.
Yes.
So there is a member of the church on this new season that just started last week.
And they have retooled Project Runway. It used to be on Lifetime and it moved to Bravo and they got rid of Tim Gunn and Heidi Klum.
Yes.
They're out.
It's been quite the shakeup.
And so who is the new host now?
New host is Carly Kloss.
Okay. And who is the new Tim Gunn?
The new Tim Gunn is Christian Siriano.
Okay. Now, I like Christian. He's a former Project Runway contestant.
He's going to be good. And I liked her as the host. I mean, I've only seen one episode so far.
Okay.
So this guy, his name is Afa Alu.
Okay.
And he is from Utah, but he's originally from Samoa.
Oh, we have an island boy.
We do have an island boy.
An island boy that is a sewer.
Yes. And he's married and also has a daughter.
Oh, dang.
So
he's breaking all the stereotypes.
I know. Okay. I know. It's amazing. So he grew up and he went to BYU Hawaii. He went on his mission to Salt Lake City.
Oh.
Of all places. And then after he married his wife, they moved to Utah.
Okay.
I guess to be closer to her family. So how he got into sewing is super interesting.
Oh.
When he was a sophomore in high school, this article said he wanted to get into like one of those, you know, woodworking, one of those type of classes at school. They were all full. The only thing left was home ec.
Okay. Dude clearly missed registration day.
Yeah. He was not on top of that.
That's what happens when you're out in the ocean swimming when you should be registering for school.
It's the island life, right? Okay. So he ends up in home ec, and it said first he burned some brownies in the kitchen. That didn't go over so well. Then they move on to the sewing portion, and they were supposed to sew mittens. And these mittens were supposed to take him the, like, entire rest of the semester to sew.
Oh, because, you know, mittens in Samoa is a really practical item.
I was a little confused about that.
I'm very confused about why you would need mittens in Samoa.
I don't know.
Okay.
So, but they're making mittens.
They're making mittens and it's supposed to take them the rest of the semester. It's
supposed to take them all semester.
Which, I'm sorry, I don't really understand how that works. Being as a seamstress, you could whip out mittens in an hour.
No, I don't get that either. Well, he didn't get it either.
Because maybe it's island time.
He whipped his mittens out in like one day and the teacher was like, okay. And he said that by the end of the semester, he'd made 40 pairs of mittens.
Oh, dang.
So clearly he was fast.
Okay, but then that begs the question, what do you do with 40 pairs of mittens in Samoa?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe they must donate them. They send them overseas.
They would have to send them overseas.
For the poor people in Idaho with horrible snow. Okay. Actually, we haven't had bad snow this year.
No. Well, we've had a lot of snow this year. It's just stayed in the mountains, not the valley, which is where I think the snow should be.
That's how we like it. Okay. So, anyway, he's very fast. He's a fast sewer, and he likes to be very technical. And he tried out for Project Runway. I think this was his third time, and he finally got in. And so I'm super anxious to see what he does. Dang. He said he loves to be just an inclusive with his designs and his fashion. He likes to sew for everybody, men, women, all body sizes, all types.
So what did he make in the first episode? Do you remember what he made in the first episode?
I can't. I remember it was a dress.
Okay.
But I can't remember much because he didn't get a lot of airtime in the first episode. Oh,
well, they have so many contestants in the first episode. They're really only showing you if you're really, really good or really, really bad.
So he wasn't in the top. He wasn't in the bottom of the first cut. So he just didn't get a lot of airtime.
You know what? That's a good place to be because you don't want to peak too early.
That's good. You want to lay low.
You want to lay low.
Ride it out till the end.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm going to have to start coming over for Project Runway Night because he sounds very entertaining.
I know. I'm excited to watch him.
Okay. All right. The next story we want to talk about is we want to talk about the group The Jets. Do you remember the group The Jets?
No. I read this article and I had zero memory of this. Probably because I was like a baby.
Yeah. You would have been a young child. Not exactly a baby. They were very big in the 80s.
So you remember them.
Oh, yes. I totally remember them. And they were a Polynesian family, or still are a Polynesian family, and they had a big band together. In fact, their last name is Wolfgrams. Uh-huh. So how they got the name The Jets, I'm not really sure. But they sung together. They had some record deals. They did concerts. I remember one New Year's Eve. In fact, this was when I was at BYU. We were down in California for a debate tournament, and we had tickets to Disneyland for New Year's Eve, and they were performing at Disneyland for New Year's Eve.
Oh.
Yes. Anyways.
Okay, so they were not just church popular.
They were mainstream popular. Okay. Like, they had top 20 hits, several different hits that they had.
They were like the next Osmonds.
Yeah, except they didn't get as far as the Osmonds got, so to speak. Anyway, they were very popular for their time. I'm sure if you heard a couple of their songs, you would go, oh my gosh, yes, I've heard that before.
Oh, okay.
Because you like 80s music and you listen to a lot of 80s music. Anyway, so they ended up dissolving around, so they started in 1977. They really got big in the mid 80s. They hit their stride probably 84, 85, 86, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. They dissolved in 1997 because apparently there were differences of opinion that divided the original band members into two groups that drifted apart. Again, not unlike many bands that end up falling apart over differences of opinion. But they are beginning to make amends. And the reason that we're talking about this is there is a filmmaker who did a documentary on them. And it premiered at the 2019 LDS Film Festival at the Sarah Center for the Arts in Orem. And they interviewed a lot of, you know, of the former band members and talked about what had happened. And there's the bassist, his children have now formed a group carrying on the family's legacy with a band of their own called 13 Crows. Hmm. They're trying to kind of resurrect them and see if they can get them back together. The filmmaker, a gentleman by the name of Goodman, he hopes to show the documentary at more festivals and eventually distribute the film digitally.
So we can't watch this yet.
We can't watch this yet. I'm hoping he'll get some momentum because first of all, I love a good documentary, and because I was familiar with this band, I think it would be really fascinating to see the film. Right. So, anyway.
Interesting.
Maybe it'll be one of those things that they'll release it on DVD and you can buy it for $5 at Deseret Book.
Yeah.
Your favorite place to buy Mormon.
My favorite place to shop, I tell you.
Mormon paraphernalia.
Okay, so we've got one more reality show to discuss. Yes. We're just going to hit on it quickly because it's not out yet, but it will be coming soon.
Well, and this hits two things for us because it is a reality show based here in Boise.
Yeah.
And it involves a member of the church.
That's right.
Okay.
So this show is called Boise Boys, and it's on HGTV, and it is about these business partners that buy homes and renovate them and make a profit. You know, your typical HGTV show.
Exactly.
Only it takes place here in Boise.
Okay.
Which is fascinating, probably only to people that live in Boise.
Well, I think they've done one season of their show that got picked up for a second season. So I think
it must have been popular.
It must have been. I mean, there are no Chip and Joanna Gaines. No. Boise is not going to turn into the new Waco with Magnolia, you know, silos going up here and there.
No. But you have a friend who recently acquired one of their flips.
Yes. So they have been in the process of filming their second season.
Oh, so we should say, and they are not LDS.
No, the Boise Boys are not LDS.
But your friend is.
But my friend is.
And she's going to be on season two.
Yes. So they have just been finishing up their second season. And so this friend of mine, they used to actually live in our ward, and they bought a different piece of property, and they ended up which was obviously outside of our ward, which is why they formerly lived in our ward. Anyway, they moved out of our ward, but the Boise Boys redid this 1930s home, and they ended up purchasing this 1930s home that the Boise Boys went in and revamped and did, and they have some television time. And so we are excited when that season airs to see them and see what the house looks like on TV.
That's right.
So
that'll be coming up.
That will be coming up.
Sometime.
I think season two begins for Boise Boys at the end of April. Okay. So I don't know if this will be first or last episode.
Right.
Depends on how HGTV cuts them and puts them together.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's it for our reality section of this podcast.
At least, at least for now.
For now.
There was a lot. And you know what? Quite frankly, because of how members of the church are just taking over reality television, I'm sure there's more we missed.
Oh, I'm sure.
So for everything we missed, we're sorry. We just try and get what we can. Okay, let's move on to some actual stories that do not involve reality television. All right. So the first one I want to talk about is, of course, Jeff mentioned this last week, that all 15 of the apostles and their wives hoofed it on over, or rather probably flew on a private jet over to Italy for the dedication of the temple in Rome. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you're going to Italy, you have to bring along your camera crew and your media, which of course was the Deseret News and KSL, because they're all part of that whole, you know, Bonneville Broadcasting Network thing that is owned by the church.
Right.
So they bring their media along with them. And while they are over there, someone who works for the church news does a video interview of Sister Nelson. And I have not seen the video. We'll link to the video, but I'll just tell you a little bit about what is in the video per the written article from Church News that we saw. So Sister Nelson talks about the day that President Nelson became the prophet.
Right.
So she says that Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018, it just started out as a typical day. She spoke at the funeral of a dear 100-year-old friend. So apparently that is a typical day for Sister Nelson.
You know, speaking of funeral.
Your average funeral talk. You know, then it says she and her husband, President Nelson, they went to the temple. Okay, well, I can see that they probably do that a lot. And then they did a little Costco shopping.
That was my favorite when I read that. I was like, get out.
I know. I'm just like, you know, I don't know if they were in the Costco. I know they live in the Bountiful area. So I don't know if they're in the Costco in the Bountiful area or down at the one that's around, like, I don't know, 2100 South.
They anyway, go to Costco. You'd think they'd have people to do that for them.
Well, exactly. And can you imagine if you're in Costco picking up your vast quantities of, you know, muffins and beef and chicken and what else? And you see President Nelson and Wendy just cruising along, throwing a case of toilet paper in their cart.
Also, I would say, what are they doing shopping at Costco? There's only two of them, but my in-laws, who are also retired and only two, love Costco.
What do they buy at Costco?
They go all the time. They get like the pre-packaged meal. Like that's how they cook now.
Oh.
Like the pre-packaged deli meals. Like,
oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Anyway, it's awesome because they're Costco experts. They can tell you everything that's good to get at Costco.
Because I'm thinking if you're retired, and you only have no children at home, that like a big package of that Costco toilet paper is going to last you a good 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so they go to Costco, they complete some projects, and they turned in early for bed. Well, then apparently the phone rings at approximately 11:01 p.m., and they are told of the death of President Monson, which, of course, they know is the beginning of altering the course of history in their lives.
Right.
And so she says that she and President Nelson, they cried. They talked for a long while. They made some phone calls. And then they're like, okay, well, let's turn out the lights and go to bed, which I can't even imagine.
There's no way they slept.
Wouldn't your brain just be swirling? Anyway, she says, I remember staring out into the dark and into our future. The hymn, Where Can I Turn for Peace, came to her mind. In that moment in the darkness, she focused on the line, Where Can I Run? Which I can imagine if I were in Sister Nelson's shoes, yeah, and I were sitting there next, lying in bed next to my husband, who's now the prophet, I'd be like, yeah, where can I run?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Anyway, she says, yes, she says, 2 days later, the Lord gave Sister Nelson a most unique and most distinctive experience that I could never deny or forget, she said. From the experience, Sister Nelson knew the mantle of the prophet was upon my husband. And she talks about the experience being very dramatic and clear. And she testifies, she says, I can stand as a witness in any nation on the earth to tell you for sure that Russell Marion Nelson has been called of God to be the Lord's prophet on earth at this time. And then she talks about President Nelson receiving revelation, you know, and we've heard about this before that, right, you know, you would think a lot of his revelation might come in the temple. Well, apparently the Lord keeps him up all night long.
This is fascinating.
This is so fascinating. So she talks about, you know, before he was ordained as the prophet, seer, and revelator and president of our church. I mean, he's an apostle. He has those same keys. Uh-huh. She said, you know, he would receive revelation, but once he became the prophet, the revelation came with frequency and intensity. And she said, my husband is trying to get every bit of instruction that he can. So then she talked about another really interesting experience that I found fascinating. So she goes to bed on a Friday night. It turns into, you know, early Saturday morning, and she's awoken. She wakes up and she's like, but I'm not done sleeping. And she just feels this prompting that she needs to get out of bed. And she's like, but I'm not done sleeping. But she follows the prompting and she gets out of bed. So she goes downstairs, flips on her computer. Now, rather than flip on Facebook, she gets on and does some family history research, thus putting all of us to shame.
Yeah.
She puttered around, does some other things. And finally, after 2 hours, her husband emerges from their bedroom and says, Wendy, you won't believe what has been happening for 2 hours. The Lord has given me detailed instructions about a process I am to follow. She says other times she's actually present in the room, and she says, my husband will say during the night, okay, dear, it's happening. She says, I remain quiet, and then soon he is sitting up on the side of the bed writing. Now, she says that she never reads these private messages between the Lord and her husband.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine how tempting? Like, what if you're like, oh, I'm just dusting. Just dusting the furniture.
Look at that
over
right
here.
There. Oh. You know, it's probably one of those things where she's like, man, I'm not even going to go near that because I don't want to be struck but down probably. By the Lord.
Maybe she doesn't want to know because it's just too much.
It's just too much. And speaking of which, she does say, she says, you know, I had no idea, you know, when I raised my hand to sustain him as prophet, as we all did, mm-hmm. March 31st, 2018, that so much, that she would witness so much action, movement, innovation, and change in the following months.
Right.
She just didn't have a clue.
Right.
So, yeah, she's like the rest of us, just apparently kind of...
She's along for the ride.
Along for the ride, waiting on bated breath.
Speaking of which...
Oh, yes.
Should we hit on conference rumors?
Oh, let's hit on some just conference real quick, rumors.
Because I'm sure Jeff will get to this next
week. I'm sure he will too. But let's hit on what we've heard.
What have you heard?
Of course, the famous one that goes around all the time is, they're going to make all the missions 18 months.
Yeah.
Or they're going to let the missionaries check the box for 6 months, 12 months, yes. 18 or 2 years. I've heard that.
Yes, I've heard that one. I've heard, oh, well, this one's also been going forever. Uh-huh. Testimony meetings, getting the axe.
Testimony meeting, getting the axe, or severely
revamped
to not include open mic Sunday, but more like I'm encouraging the following people to come up and bear their testimony. But hadn't we also heard somebody was talking about like a word of wisdom?
We heard some rumblings about maybe some word of wisdom. Like not a full blown. Yeah. I don't think anybody thinks there's going to be a full blown like it's a free for all now.
Yeah.
But more of a certain things left to your own personal.
Now,
I don't know.
I have a harder time believing that one. And the reason I have a harder time believing that one is, you know, a lot of these changes that have happened have been more policy, more how we do things, not so much
doctrine
or changing scripture. Well, you know, word of wisdom is scripture. So, you know, that would require a change in scripture. But, you know, the other one, and I haven't heard this one, but they've talked about this one for years as a potential rumor, is, of course, adding the proclamation on the family as another section in the Doctrine and Covenants.
Oh.
So that's one that's been kind of perpetually talked about.
Right.
I haven't heard any recent rumblings, but anyway, I mean, I'm just kind of scratching my head because I'm like, well, everything has changed. What more do
What's left?
What's left?
What's left to do?
Exactly.
Well, and that could be the other thing. We could all be anxiously awaiting, anticipating, and it's just like a totally mellow. Like,
I know. And President Nelson's like, yeah, I'm going to give you all a break.
Yeah.
Tired of amping up your blood pressure.
But I tell you what, the buzz over conference is great these days.
Oh, you know, it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it's buzzing as much now as it did in October. Mm-hmm. To me, it seemed like at this time, 2 weeks out from 3 weeks out from conference, that it was buzzing a lot more last October.
That's true. But that may have been the two-hour church rumor.
That's true.
That was fueling that buzz because that rumor was...
That rumor was fast and furious. So...
Yeah.
Anyway, but so yeah. We welcome you to comment on our, when we post this up on Facebook, feel free to comment with any general conference rumors y'all have heard, because nothing, members of the church are nothing but,
we like a good rumor.
We like a good rumor. Yep. Okay. Let's move on to another story.
All right. Next story is the church just released, just a few days ago, actually, some new guidelines for Boy Scouts of America.
Okay.
And the change that's coming up, you know, in 2020, they will be parting ways with the church.
Yes.
So the church is being very proactive in setting some standards as to how this departure will take place.
Oh, we have terms and conditions of the divorce.
They want a nice clean cut.
Tell me the terms and conditions of our divorce.
Nice clean cut. No sloppy leftovers. Nothing.
Okay.
So they put out some guidelines. They said beginning June 1st, community-based Boy Scout PACs can begin recruiting from the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, there are a couple stipulations to that. First, they said they are encouraging the boys to remain in their church-sponsored unit through December 31st of this year. They said troops who are recruiting may provide a flyer to the bishops or branch presidents to be posted on a bulletin board in the church from June through December.
Okay.
But, so the flyer has to be approved by the bishop.
Okay.
It can be posted on the bulletin board, but nobody is allowed to openly recruit in a church building, like verbally.
Oh.
So if you are...
You can read, but you cannot talk.
If you are Scoutmaster so-and-so and you're forming a new troop, you cannot be walking around on Sunday or during Scouts on Wednesday saying, hey, I'm starting a troop. Would you like to join? So that has to be done on your personal time over the phone with the family.
At your personal property.
On your personal phone at your personal property, yes.
Okay, that's very
interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Because these are things I hadn't even thought about.
I hadn't thought about either.
But
so I'm trying to think the reasoning behind that. I guess the only reasoning I can think of is, you know, the church so wants to distance itself from BSA, it doesn't want any of the litigious issues
because
to follow
They also said they want, you know, you're not supposed to go off of church lists.
Okay.
They also don't want bishops, you know, passing like, oh, here's a group of boys that might be interested.
Yeah.
Bishops are not to be involved in this. Also, the one flyer that they do print out to put on the church bulletin board can make no reference to church whatsoever in pictures or words. It just cannot be churchy.
Interesting.
So that's it. Okay. Oh, and this is also interesting. They're making it very clear that church buildings and grounds are off limits to scout meetings or activities after December 31st.
Oh, yeah. They want no liability.
Nothing.
You know what? And here's what's really interesting. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of plays out. Because, you know, in my ward, my husband is the scoutmaster. We have discussed this.
Uh-huh.
And there are some families that are rah, 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 very, very pro scouting. And there are other families that, of course, could care less.
Right.
So those families who still want to keep scouting and keep their boys in scouting, I don't know. I can't foresee another community troop like even approaching the church and saying, hey, can we have your boys?
No, I feel like this would be members of the church saying, let's start our own, don't you think? Let's band together and I don't know. How do you get a troop? Do you apply?
I think you have to apply, but you know what? See, I don't see members doing that. And here's why I don't see members doing that. That takes like way too much initiative.
No. We're too lazy.
We're too lazy.
We have callings, jobs, families, home
exactly.
church.
Like, I see them going, Methodist. How do we feel about the Methodist? Should we go be part of the Methodist troop?
Oh, totally. I think the majority of people who still want to do it will probably try and find
their own.
But yeah, I think it'll be them finding their own. Yeah. I don't really think they're going to come after us, right?
I don't think so either. I have a hard time envisioning that. But, you know, then again, I am not in that camp of scouting is the be all to end all.
So are you saying your husband's not going to like try to apply and form his own troop?
My husband won't even do a merit badge right now.
He's like, hasta la vista, baby.
Exactly. Now, that's not to say he is slacking in his calling. What I mean by that is because he does take the boys camping. He tries to take them camping at least once a month. He thinks it is great to get them out there, to get them camping, to be teaching them how, you know, survival skills and things like that. He just detests all of the paperwork associated with the BSA and filling out those silly little blue cards
and the badges and the
applications and all of that. That's what he doesn't like. The skills themselves, he is so not adverse to teaching the kids that. He just doesn't want to be bothered with the paperwork.
I so understand that.
So no, he's not going to be out there forming his own troop.
See, and I think it'll be interesting. I think probably parents of scouts, I mean, I wouldn't know. I don't have a scout. But I'm guessing.
Nor will you ever have a scout.
Nor will I ever. Sorry. I'm a little bit too excited about that.
Yeah, you're a little excited about that.
I am guessing that they are probably waiting to see what new program the church comes out with.
I think so,
before they sign up.
Yeah.
Because that could affect, like, if the church is replacing it with something
similar,
but like you said, minus all the badges.
Yeah.
Maybe they feel like that's enough for their son.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't. So maybe they're kind of waiting to see. I don't know.
Well, you know, and I'm really anxious to see what program the church comes out with as well to replace that.
Right.
You know, we have heard rumors that they are testing it in various parts of the country. I think at Project Runway night just this last Thursday, one of your friends was saying somebody in Ohio, they have some relative or somebody in Ohio who is testing it, but they're not allowed to say anything about it.
They are mum.
They've signed the vow of silence. So
unlike the two-hour church that was leaky.
And it was leaky everywhere. Exactly. So I am really curious to see what the program is that they come up with.
Yeah.
I am guessing that the program is going to have a very spiritual focus to it, just because that is the shift that we are going.
Right.
And I think whatever the new program is that is for the young men and young women will probably be very similar and probably have a very spiritual focus to it. I also think that it's going to be one of those things like a lot of the other programs that have come out recently for youth, where they're basically going to have guidelines. They're not going to give you the do this, do this, do this, because they want each youth and each leader to pray about, you know, what do the youth need? What needs to be done in our area? Because we are a worldwide church.
Right.
And there's so much variance in what different people need.
Yeah.
So that's my guess, but I am anxiously waiting the new program.
It'll be fun to see.
So, all right. our next big story. Reimbursements.
Oh, reimbursements. That one's online. Yours. That one's mine. Yes. I forgot about this.
So Jeff wrote this.
Jeff wrote this on the This Week in Mormons website. So this is just kind of exciting for those who are getting reimbursed a lot, like me right now, for Relief Society.
Oh, yes.
Food. So you know you can do tithing online.
Beautiful, beautiful concept.
Wonderful. Now you are going to be able to get reimbursed online.
Oh, dang.
Isn't that awesome?
That's so awesome.
So that's all. I mean, I don't know if this is happening, if it's fully rolled out everywhere yet, but I'll report back because I'm going to get reimbursed pretty soon.
Well, you know, and one of the questions I had is because when you fill out the reimbursement form, you know, if you are not the president of whatever organization,
it has to be signed off.
It has to be signed off by the president. So do you go online, fill out your reimbursement request? And the other thing, too, is they always want the receipts.
Yeah, I'm assuming you'd have to scan those.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too, is they're going to want to scan your receipts because I don't know why they need the receipts. I'm not a numbers accounting person.
Would still be easier for me, I feel like, than
turning in the receipts.
Yeah, because I always forget them. I leave them at home instead of putting them in my church bag. Yeah. And then it's like a month later and, you know.
Yeah. Anyway.
So this is good.
It'll be interesting to see how the logistics of that work.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Our next story, we want to talk about members of the church in New Zealand. Now, as I presume everybody has heard, over the weekend, there were some attacks. I guess it was late last week. There were some attacks on some mosques in New Zealand, and a number of Muslim people died as a result of those attacks. And this has taken a hard, this has been a difficult time for New Zealand.
Yeah.
And so members of the church in New Zealand have been pulling together with their Muslim counterparts. And in Auckland, apparently yesterday, or at least on Sunday, yesterday our time, probably a couple of days ago their time. Anyway, other members of the church welcomed their Muslim friends to a local meeting house. They had an interfaith devotional that drew a congregation of close to 1,000 strong. In other parts of the country, members of the church are sending messages to the Muslim people. Mm-hmm. Down in Dunedin, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. Latter-day Saint women are working alongside to help set up a Muslim women support group. They're signing up to be a friend, to go walk with, to go shopping with, and offer support in other ways. And they are saying, we want them to know that we are with them, and as a nation and as communities, we can move forward with faith, understanding, and unity. And I really like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because, you know, regardless of what you believe faith-wise, I like the fact that we honor that even though we may not agree with their faith and we may not share the same tenets of our faith, of their faith, that we are all human beings here together and we need to love and support each other and do as the Article of Faith says, where we allow others to practice their religion as they wish to practice their religion.
Right.
And we will support that. So I thought that was a great story.
That is cool. All right. There is a new Tab Cats CD. Did I say that right?
Tab Cats. You did say that right. I wrote in the notes Motab. I still can't break my Motab habit.
Motab. So you got the CD. You love it.
I did. So,
and it's all hymns.
It is. It's all hymns. So let me back up here. You know, in the years between 2000 and 2010, the choir was releasing CDs almost on a yearly basis. You know, some of them were Christmas CDs, some of them were musical CDs, hymns and whatnot, and they were great. I loved them. And then by the time about 2010, 2011 rolled around, their last CD that had actual hymns on it was released in 2011, and it was called This Is the Christ. Since then, they've released a few things, but they have been hymns. They've just been all this
artsy-fartsy,
esoterical, artsy-fartsy stuff that I could care less about. I want hymns. I want my Tab Cats singing hymns. That's all I ask. Anyway, so they have this new CD. It's called Let Us All Press On, Hymns of Praise and Inspiration. Every single one of them, I believe, is a hymn you can find in the hymn book. including the one that President Nelson penned. He penned Our Prayer to Thee, which was sung by the choir at the close of General Conference in October. And the text of that is written by him. He apparently, President Nelson, got to be at the recording session when they recorded it.
Oh, so very nice.
Anyway, many of these hymns have been musically arranged by either Mack Wilberg or his little minion, who is known as Ryan T. Murphy, not to be confused with the television producer, no. Ryan Murphy.
Different Ryan Murphy.
This Ryan Murphy is the associate director of music for the choir. And so both he and Mack Wilberg have done arrangements. And of course, they are the typical arrangements with all sorts of bombastic, wonderful stuff that I love.
Great.
But here's the best part. Do you have a burning desire to sing with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? I do.
I know you do. She is all over this.
I love me some choir, and I am unabashed about that. Now, the fact that I can't carry a tune does not dissuade me. But they are currently having a contest. And the contest will close at 3 p.m. on the 20th of March. So hopefully
this week.
Hopefully you're listening to this podcast quickly. And so what it is four people, two men, two women, are going to be chosen to go and sing with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. You get to sing at their practice session on April 11th, and then you get to do their dress rehearsal for Music and the Spoken Word.
But not actual music. But not actual music. Word, because they're not that crazy.
No. So you have to go to Facebook and you have to make a comment on Facebook. You have to talk about your three favorite tracks. I think it's any hymn. I don't think it necessarily has to be the new one. And then you have to follow them on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, so are you going to enter?
Well, of course I'm going to enter. Now, if I got picked, I wouldn't sing because that would just be flat out embarrassing and my family would be like mortified. So I'm going to do my best rendition to lip sync if I get picked. Okay. Because that will save everyone grief and embarrassment. Like, I'm serious. If I were to sing, Mack Wilberg would snap his fingers and point at me and go, I know you won the contest, but get out of here.
I'd be like, whose crazy idea was this contest? I cannot work with these people.
That's exactly what Mack Wilberg would do. I can't work with this.
Well, I'm going to cross my fingers that you win.
Okay.
Then you could be our boots on the ground.
Our boots on the ground with the Tab Cats.
All things about the choir.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
All right.
We have our...
Let's move on to the last news story that we like to close every podcast with. Our section that we lovingly call Mormons Behaving Badly. And folks, this is a doozy.
This is a real bad one.
This is a real bad one.
Real bad.
Okay. So we have a gentleman by the name of David Moss. He is a former vice cop for St. George. He actually resigned from the St. George Police Department, I believe in 2012, because he was, what did they say here?
He's in trouble back then, too.
Yes, he was having a consensual relationship of a sexual nature at work. Now, it didn't involve sex workers or witnesses or victims. It sounded to me like he was having a fling with another officer. So he quits that job. He moves from St. George up to Salt Lake. I can't remember what he was doing. But he decides that he's going to go see on Valentine's Day of this year if he can score himself some sweet women. So he advertises using the screen name Pilot. He shows up, meets these two women who are actually undercover police officers and says, I offer protection. I'm going to train you on how you can get repeat regulars who are higher paying, and I'm going to teach you to stay out of jail. He makes one of these officers touch him inappropriately, so to speak.
Oh, dear.
They bust him. They haul him off to jail.
So he's trying to be, like, not a pimp, but, like, a consultant?
Well, basically, he's a pimp. But, yeah, he's calling himself a consultant.
He's marketing himself,
As a consultant.
Okay.
Anyway, so he, of course, is arrested for soliciting sex. And, yes, folks, he was a bishop at the time.
Currently a bishop.
While he did this.
How did he get to be a bishop? Is this because he moved from St. George with, like, his other previous...
I know.
Like,
that's what I wondered,
sexual
too.
Relation with someone at work whom I'm assuming was not his spouse.
Apparently his church records were not duly noted.
He just, like, hopped town and became a bishop.
Well, and of course, upon his arrest, the church immediately released him. As well they should.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Mormons behaving badly. All right, let's wrap her up and bring it on in with favorite things.
All right, we're going to share our favorites just because we can.
Okay, okay. So you start. Hopefully we're not going to share the same thing.
Hopefully not. Probably not. My favorite thing this week is a laundry bag, a lingerie laundry bag from Walmart.
What?
That costs $1.25. And I will tell you why this is my favorite thing. Not for lingerie.
Okay.
For socks.
I was going to say, I'm a bit concerned if you're... Garments just don't lend themselves to sexy lingerie.
Okay, so this is like a mom hack. Sometimes on here I share a mom hack. This is my mom hack for dealing with children's socks.
Okay.
You know, I do all the laundry in my house and I just like, I have a thing with socks. I hate dirty socks when they're laying around the house.
I'm so with you on that.
I hate it when you fold the laundry and you get to the bottom of the pile and all you have left is a bazillion socks.
None of which match.
None of which match. And then you have to figure out which kid
the socks belong to.
Yeah. And they all have tiny feet. So I came up with this solution and it's actually working.
Okay, so explain how this works.
I bought my children they each have this dollar like lingerie bag that's like made of netting.
Okay.
And it zips up.
Okay.
And it has a hook. And so I bought them and I put them in the laundry room on a hook by the washing machine. And I say to them, when you take off your socks, they go in your bag.
Oh.
So when they take off their dirty socks, they put them in their bag.
Because they always take them off. They never take them off in their room. They always take them off on the main floor of the house.
They always leave them weird places.
Yeah.
So you put your dirty socks in your bag. Then when it is time to do the laundry, I zip the bag shut. I throw the entire bag in the laundry. And then when the laundry is done, the child gets a bag of socks. I don't sort them. I don't fold them. I don't care if they wear matching socks anymore. I'm over it. Like, oh, here's your bag of socks. When you go to put your socks on in the morning, you pick out whatever you're going to wear in the sock bag.
Oh, dang. That is a good mom hack.
It's kind of changing my life.
That is a way good mom hack.
I don't sort socks anymore.
Now, should I still have the sock issue, which I don't have so much at my house because, you know, the teenagers are all doing their own laundry.
That's right.
And Mark and Katie get separate laundries.
That's right. So. Well, I have, my oldest does her own laundry too, but for some reason her dang socks kept ending up in my laundry. But now we don't have that problem anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, then I will wrap it up with my favorite. As you know, it is Easter candy season, and I do not think that there is a finer time in the land than Easter candy.
Yes.
Easter candy is hands down my favorite candy that comes out all year long.
Yes.
Out of all the candy that comes out all year long. So this year, and of course, my favorite Easter candy is the Cadbury Mini Eggs. I don't know anybody whose favorite Easter candy is not the Cadbury Mini Eggs.
I feel like you might have picked that for your favorite thing about a year ago.
I did, but I think I just picked the regular Cadbury Mini Eggs.
Uh-huh.
We have a new Cadbury Mini Egg out this year. We have the Shimmer Mini Eggs. Now, you may remember last year, I think they had cookies and cream, and we tried the cookies and cream.
Oh, yeah, they were not good.
The colors on them were beautiful, but they tasted awful. Mm-hmm. Well, these ones are like just the regular milk chocolate mini eggs, but the colors on them, they have this shimmer coat on them, and they are so beautiful. Now, the coating is a little thicker than your regular Cadbury egg, but the colors are just absolutely beautiful. So go buy yourself a bag of Shimmer Eggs and enjoy the festiveness of the Easter season.
Very nice. I like it.
Okay.
All right. I think that does it.
I think that wraps us up. Twim Nation, thank you very much for joining us as always.
Thank
this
you
is the
listening.
Twim Sisters. And if you have any questions, comments, you can contact, you can email at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, or even the Twitter. And we welcome all your feedback.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Good night.